Bob Feller Show, Program 27. Hockey is often billed as the world's fastest game. It could be just that. It takes a good fan to keep track of the puck as it sails up and down the ice, and on many an occasion, a fan will miss a score. The puck will be in the nets before anyone realizes it, and on goes the light, signifying the goal. On a night in 1936, the Detroit Red Wings and the old Montreal Maroons met in the Stanley Cup playoff. Detroit had won the regular season championship in the National Hockey League. The Red Wings boasted of such stars as Marty Berry and Herbie Lewis. Montreal had its heroes, too, players like Huey Smith and Baldy Northcutt. The game started, and the two teams tried desperately to score a goal. In hockey, the team that scores first usually has the advantage, but it doesn't always hold true. The first period ended in a scoreless tie. In the second period, the opposing goalies were busy men, but still no goals. As the fans took a break before the final period got underway, they wondered who would dent the nets first. Montreal fans cheered their team on as the final period started. There were ohs and ahs as the home team missed one chance after another to score. But the Red Wings weren't having any luck either. The seconds ticked away, and finally, the buzzer sounded, ending the game. Neither team had scored. This meant a sudden-death playoff. Still no score. A second overtime period. Some fans left the arena, but the team struggled from one end of the ice to the other. The second overtime period ended in a scoreless deadlock. More fans headed for home. The third overtime started, and both sides failed to score. The minutes ticked away, and another overtime period was history. The fourth overtime, and then the fifth, came and went. Still no score. There were still a number of diehard fans in the seats as the sixth overtime period got underway. In 60 seconds, we'll return to find out if anyone scored in this hockey thriller. It was well past midnight as the players returned to the ice for overtime period number six. They looked weary and just dragged themselves onto the ice. The fans also were tired. How long could it go on? Then, suddenly, at 16 minutes and 30 seconds of the sixth overtime, a goal. Heck, Kilray had passed to Mud Brunetaut for the score. Detroit had won. A goal had been scored after a total of 176 minutes and 30 seconds of playing time. And fans wearily filed out of Montreal Arena at 2:30 in the morning. But even though the game had dragged on for nearly 5 hours, they had seen one of the greatest hockey games ever played. Bob Feller Show, Program 28. It's still some time before pro football will be back in the sports spotlight again. But let's take a change of pace and listen to a football story. The Green Bay Packers will be seeking an unprecedented third straight National Football League championship next season. And league records show that the Packers always have them in a football power. Let's return to 1941. The Packers needed one victory to clinch at least a tie for the Western title. The scene was Washington, and the Packers were a heavy choice to whip the Redskins. Green Bay had a passing combination that was setting a league on its head. Cecil Isbell to Don Hudson. The Redskins had quite a passing attack, too. And the reason? A fellow named Sammy Baugh. The game was only a few minutes old when the Redskins marched across the length of the field for a touchdown. Before the opening period was over, a field goal was added, and Washington fans smelled an upset in the making. The fans became even more convinced when Baugh connected to Bob Seymour for another touchdown shortly before the half ended. At the intermission, the scoreboard showed the Redskins leading the Packers 17-0. The big Redskin line was smothering Isbell, and the secondary was covering Hudson like a glove. But there was still a half to go, and anything can happen in a football game. Green Bay took the second half kickoff and returned it to the 35-yard line. Then Isbell started to fill the air with passes. Hudson caught one, then one to another receiver. The Packers moved goalward as Isbell found one target after another. Washington found itself with his back to his wall. The Packers had the ball on the Redskins' 15. Isabel faded to pass, spotted Hudson in the end zone, and fired. Touchdown. The score was now Washington 17, Green Bay 7. A few minutes later, the Packers were threatening again. This time, an alert Green Bay defender had picked off one of Baugh's passes. In a matter of seconds, the Packers were deep in Redskin territory. Again, Isabel took to the air, and again he found Hudson clear. Touchdown. The Packers had inched to within 3 points of Washington at 17-13, but there was still a whole quarter to go. We'll be back in 60 seconds for the exciting windup. Isbell filled the air with passes as the final period got underway. The Packers moved from deep in their own territory to the Redskin 46. Then Isbell fired to Hudson again. Donnie looted one defender after another. Then streaked goalward. Green Bay had scored again and took the lead for the first time, 21-17. It had taken Isbell and Hudson a while to warm up, but when they finally got started, there was no stopping them. They made up one of the greatest passing combinations in Football League history.